Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening and we thank you for always providing, Lord. You are a good, good Father, and you have nothing but the best for us. We just apologize for when we don't remember that. We need to keep that on the forefront of our minds that everything we have is from you, and every good plan that comes our way is from you, and in your name, amen.
Alrighty. Well, we are in chapter 3, Philippians. I'm going to. So we're basically going to be starting in verse 12, but I'm going to kind of get a little bit of a run and start into it, backtrack a little bit, and it'll be our recap somewhat. We're going to be in the second half of. Starting the second half of verse 8. Says, "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Okay, so we talked about this last week, and that kind of is a long-winded way of kind of laying out justified, sanctified, and glorified. We've talked about verse 9, he really emphasizes that righteousness comes from God and not by works. Okay, why? Because he's about to get into some of the things that he does, and then he also tells them, join in imitating me. Okay. He also shows that the prize of gaining Christ means that you know him and know the power of his resurrection. Okay, we talked about that too. And I think one reason he's hammering this home is because if you don't know that you don't bring anything to the table except the sin that put Jesus on the cross, then you don't actually know Jesus, and you can't know him if you think that anything you can do has merit to it. We were created as image bearers of God to have an intimate relationship with him for eternity, and sin fractured that. And now, by the mercy and grace of God, through Jesus, we can have that again. Okay. So now that my debt was fully paid off, I can begin to foster that intimate relationship by walking side by side with the Word of God, while he uses it to transform us on the inside. Okay. How come? Verse 11. That by any means possible, I may attend the resurrection from the dead. There's an urgency to answer God's call in his life and to mirror Jesus's sacrificial serving and to do whatever it takes to get back to that eternal, intimate relationship with him. And then that's where we pick up here in verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." That word "press on" means to like ferociously pursue something. And he actually uses that same exact word in verse 6, that same Greek word, to refer to him as persecuting Christians. In the verse, he says, "As to zeal, a persecutor of the church." And so persecutor and press on, same Greek word, to give you an idea. Make it my own means to aggressively take hold or fully grasp something. So what Paul is saying is, I ferociously pursue Christ and aggressively take hold of his calling on my life. Okay? And then what he's trying to make his own is what we just read in verse 10 and 11. It's knowing and experiencing Christ on an intimate level. And then the resurrection power of God transforming his daily life so that he can finally have that eternal life. That eternal face-to-face relationship. And the big part of that verse 12, notice that it's a response, okay? It's because Jesus aggressively took hold of him that his response is to now do the same thing in return. It's because he's secure and loved by Christ that it highly motivates him to chase after everything Christ has in store for his life. Okay? And it's just another example of the balance of God's divine control and human responsibility, like we kind of talked about when I was reading Romans 1. But the idea is that the gospel is not anti-effort, it's just anti-earning, right? Being saved by grace does not mean sitting back and doing nothing. Instead, knowing that you are loved by God should ignite a passion to actively pursue Him, pursue spiritual growth, and pursue the calling that He has on our lives. Okay? So, one thing you can ask yourself, what does your relationship with Jesus look like? Are you actively pursuing and aggressively trying to take hold of everything that He has for you? Or are you and Jesus just homeboys? And that's where it ends. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul's even saying, I don't think that I fully grasp it, okay? But he does have one thing that he's focused on. What is the next step of obedience that's in front of me that God's calling me towards? Okay. He uses a lot of buzz terms here that are referenced for like they're athletic references for sprinters. Okay. Press on, make it my own, straining forward to what lies ahead, to what lies ahead. If you've read through any of Paul's letters, you know that he likes to use like running a race and sprinters and races throughout the whole New Testament. But the straining forward on what lies ahead kind of presents this picture of someone that's like fully extending their body with all of their effort, right? And the way that he actually uses it in the Greek points to like continuous and repetitive action, okay? It's not like just this one time I'm going to lunge for the finish line. Like it's a continuous full body extension with full effort, okay? But here's the important part. It's all important, but a important part is that that comes after something. And the something that it came after was forgetting what lies behind. Okay? And you're never going to be able to truly extend yourself and aggressively grab a hold of what God has for you until you can let go of what's in the past. Okay? And forgetting isn't this thing that's like this magical, like wiping clean from your memory. I just forgot it. It's an active choice to pursue what's up there and leave behind what's back there. And it's kind of like when I talked about choosing to rejoice, right? If you're actively pursuing Jesus and what he wants in front of you, by default, you will not be stuck in what lies behind us. Forgetting what was back there also goes for your accomplishments just as much as the failures, okay? Paul just got done like laying out all the good and the bad in his resume. And by considering it all scubilon, he now has the ability to ferociously pursue and aggressively take hold of what God has in front of him. Okay? So, another question you can ask yourself. What are you tethered to back there that's hindering your ability to fully extend towards and aggressively take hold of what God has for you up there? And it may be as simple as your outlook on the purpose of the things that he's given you in your life already. And I say that because that's partially the case for me. So let me explain what I mean by that. Whether we realize it or not, everything in our life is heading towards a goal and or a prize. Okay? So imagine that your life is the track around a football field. Okay? Each lane is an avenue that the Lord has put in your life. Okay, so your family you have, the job you have, community, church, you're part of all those things, right? Each of these things will eventually cross the finish line with a specific goal or prize that they were working towards. Okay, so when your family crosses that finish line, when your job you worked at crosses that finish line, the way you carried your church life crosses that finish line, what prize will it receive that represents what it was working towards? That makes sense. For me, my big one is the tire shop. Okay? If my job crossed the finish line a year ago, my little banner at the end and the prize I was working towards would be a paycheck to support my family, the idea of carrying on what my dad started and was a part of. And honestly, some like fictionalized idea of like what the shop was supposed to mean in regard to me being a godly man or not, right? And what I realized is that this part of my life that the Lord gave me to steward was working towards everything except to the glory of God, right? In one facet or another, it was just working towards an end goal of my glory. So when Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, what that makes me think of is, what if all the things in my lanes that whenever they cross the finish line, they all just received one collective banner or trophy that said, to the glory of God? Wasn't these individual things that they were going after. And everything in my life, when it reached the finish line, the banner and trophy it received was the fact that it was aimed towards the glory of God only. Okay? Not some vacation that I wanted to go on, or a retirement account that I could live easy off of, or some positive perception of what my family grew up to be, right? And those things are absolutely all great things, but the overarching point is that they should be a means by which we glorify God, and not the end goal that we actually are focusing all of our time and attention on. Okay? And it really has been kind of a rude awakening to realize where my mindset and my heart posture kind of was towards certain things in my life. One thing that I just recently found out about, kind of dive into a little bit, is that in ancient Hebrew, the root word for work and for worship are the exact same. And there's a word that's used interchangeably in the Old Testament. And it's because God created work as a form of worship to him. And that's a whole different thing that we could, study on. But the idea is that our work is meant to worship God. And what Satan has done is he's turned it to where we worship the work instead of use the work to worship the Lord. Verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So what's funny is Paul's kind of like challenging them and throwing like a little dig at their culture. Got to remember, retired military community, status-driven society, things that you accomplish, learn, experience sort of dictated your maturity. And the more mature you were, the higher status you usually had. So Paul's basically saying, hey, actually, any of you who don't have this mindset are the immature ones of the group. And that would have definitely been a big insult. My thought was that if he's having to write to them about this, there's a good chance not a whole lot of them were acting this way. So, there's verse 16 is an important way to kind of cap off this little section here. Okay? It says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Okay? Notice he didn't say to what we have achieved. He said attained. And this here makes the distinction of what we are supposed to hold on to when we strive ahead. Okay? So the term hold true references to staying anchored as you head down a straight path. It's kind of like soldiers marching together in a straight line. And what we've attained is God transforming us on the inside through his word and the things that we experience when we walk in obedience with him, okay? So we're leaving behind the achievements and failures that are seen on the outside while still bringing along with all of us the things that the Lord has changed that positively influence our maturity, our spiritual maturity, okay? So for me, not staying tethered to the fact that by all accounts my business looks upside down on paper, but bringing with me the convictions and actions that the Lord is putting on my heart in regard to relying on him and glorifying him as he works to bring me out of this situation that we're in, right? And then on the flip side of that, when we get to a point where we're being uber positive on paper, right? Not tethering to the success that we had back there as if I accomplished anything, but continuing those convictions and actions to use the business for his glory in whatever way that he wants me to. Okay? So, just as much as we get transformed on the inside to then do the things on the outside, we need to hang on to the things on the inside and not get so strapped and tethered to the things that are happening on the outside of us, if that makes sense. Verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So this is important. And this is, Paul says this another way in 1 Corinthians when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay. And he also just got done giving them examples, Timothy and Epaphroditus, of people among them who showed what the mind of Christ looks like, right? And this was one of the things that we talked with the boys at kids camp, was one of the things we talked about was along the same concept. Psalm 1 starts out saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And the concept from that specific section was that who and what you allow to influence you, to provide counsel in your life, that matters. And it doesn't mean don't be friends with people who don't believe the same things as you, but the biggest voices in your life underneath God should be other people whose biggest influence in their life is the Word of God. That's what basically Paul's telling them, that the people that you, when you look to others for influence and guidance, make sure that what they say they believe is reflected by what their actions show. Okay. Verse 18. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is their destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. So I read that and I think these are the people that are holding true to what they've achieved and not what they've actually, not what they've attained, right? And you can tell Paul, you can tell it pains Paul to see that some have taken the free gift of grace that, God gave them, and they became enemies of the cross by making it about the works that they did, and their motives became about prideful and selfish things towards their own desires. It said, their God is their belly, with minds set on earthly things. What they actually care about is how something affects what they want and what the world says to chase after, right? That's called idolatry. That's what we just talked about. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Okay, so back to Roman society. The number one thing they were proud of was their Roman citizenship. It was offered tons of benefits, but it was their identity. Their Roman citizenship was their identity. And one of the self-given names that Caesar had was Soter, which is the Greek word for savior. And since Caesar was the leader of the Roman citizens, and their identity is as citizens, he was inherently going to be their savior, because he was the top of the ladder of what their identity rested in. Okay? So here's the concept coming from that. Whatever is at the top of the ladder of what you rest your identity in will be your savior. If my identity is rooted in a tire guy who owns a business, my Lord and Savior is that business. My mind is set on the earthly things because my identity is rooted in the temporary things of this world. If my identity is as a father and a husband and a member of Kingdom Way, then I'm unfairly putting responsibility on my son, my wife, my church family, of playing a role they cannot live up to. Okay? Because everything in this world will eventually let us down one way or another if you put your hope and worship in it and not the one who actually created it. Okay? When you can actually root yourself as a citizen of heaven, root your identity in God and our eternal life, then your Lord and Savior will be Jesus, because Jesus is the top of the ladder of what you rest your identity in. Okay? I've said it a million times, but Jesus never changes. And because of that, you don't have to ever worry about being let down, okay? Whether it's rejoicing through the hard times, praising him because he's blessing you, or seeking him to transform you on the inside because you know he's the only one that can do that, okay? When he is your identity and he is your Lord and Savior, then everything you do can be done for the accomplishment of his glory and not your own. There's our week nine. Again, once again, ended abruptly. But any comments, concerns, questions?
I was listening to Todd White today, and it was a lot of the lines on this too was, the things that we esteem, family or whatever, they will they if you are not rooted in Christ, you could be hurt because you have put, how do you say this? You can, things are, people are going to let you down. Circumstances are going to let you down. All of those things. And people don't like to be uncomfortable, but that's because they don't have a real relationship with the comforter. So at when you have a relationship with the comforter, these things come across you and you're like, it's cool. It's okay. Because I'm going all the way to the top. I didn't esteem these things as so high that, that's, considered a failure and it crushes me or nothing. I really wish I could have paraphrased it better than that, but it just really reminded me of what Paul was just saying right there. It's like, put Christ at the top and strain for him, and you'll get that peace where when things come against you, it's all right. Because I'm going to keep striving for the next thing that he has for me. And all of a sudden you're not focusing on all these things that are happening. They're just kind of zooming past you as you're staying focused, like the race, right?
Yeah, leaving them behind you and being able to
Yeah,
be
exactly.
unhitched from
So,
those things holding you back. It's, I
yeah.
mean, it's it, a lot of it is very much just along the general idea of like making God the plate, right, that we talked about before. It's all that
Yeah.
kind of same along those same lines, so.
Absolutely.
Pursuing him, like constantly pursuing and having that relationship. And then it takes all that other stuff, like helps put all that other stuff not as high on the,
Yeah.
thought.
We done with our study now, Micah?
Oh no, we got a whole chapter to go.
Okay, good. Because I was thinking, I don't want it to be over yet. But thank you too for being so transparent. I love what God showed you about the tire shop and you and everything that he's doing. Show you all these things. That's really great for his glory.
I like this, Mike. I feel like it kind of cleared up. My Bible calls it reaching forward. So let's see, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what's ahead, pressing forward towards the goal. And I've always thought of that as the goal, like there's some goal, you know? And when you realize that the goal is just the, you know, having our identity in Christ and just reaching forward to more relationship with him, that's much easier, you know. That sounds much easier to me. I know how to do that, but like having to perform some sort of goal or something, I guess, you know, is thinking, because like you said, he always does use analogies that are like winning the race and, you know, and but anyway, this was very encouraging today, and I like that it's very timely too, because that's what we just studied this weekend is our identity in Christ, you know? And so this is really good. Thank you.
If there's not anything else, maybe I'll see if Andy can pray us out and maybe we can transition.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we get to spend as a body. Lord, we thank you for what your spirit is impressing on Micah's heart, and we thank you for how he's delivering it to all of us. We just ask that you give us ears to hear, Lord. We lift up those who are not here, and we thank you for a great weekend that we spent, Lord, for the kids' retreat, and please bless the rest of our nights. In your name I pray. Amen.